Franz Kafka, it's understood, never knew where his words would lead him. "Where then shall I be brought?" he writes in his diary just before beginning The Castle, a book which ends in mid-sentence. The surreal story of a man named Kay and his battle with bureaucracy could be a metaphor for the real-life legal tangle over his legacy, and you'll have to concentrate on this because it's a soap opera-sized cast of characters. In Tel Aviv, a long-running court battle between two elderly women, the Hoffa sisters, and the government-funded Israeli National Library revolves around papers that may reveal more insights into Franz Kafka and his work, perhaps even to the discovery of unpublished manuscripts. The two women, Ava and Ruth Hoffa, inherited a number of boxes of papers from their mother, Esther Hoffa, who was secretary and lover to Kafka's best friend and mentor, Max Brod. It's because of Max Brod that we have The Castle and the trial at all. He famously refused to burn Kafka's papers in spite of Kafka wanting him to. These papers in Israel include letters from Max Brod to Kafka's last lover, Donna Diamant. She just happens to have the same name as our guest today, but she's no relation, and they pronounce it differently anyway. Anyway, Kathy Diamant is the director of the Kafka Project, which is an independent organisation committed to investigating the lost works of Franz Kafka. It's based at the University of California, San Diego, from where Kathy Diamant joins me. Welcome to the book show.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to talk on this subject.
Well, before we get to the court case, it is quite a tale as to how these letters ended up in Israel. Can you unfold the dramas that led to the court case?
Well, it's a long and tangled path from Prague, where Max Brod collected Kafka's work after his death in 1924. He was instructed by Kafka to burn everything, but Kafka had also been told by Brod that he would never do such a thing. And Max Brod collected everything and then found publishers for all three novels, which had never been published during Kafka's lifetime. As you said, The Castle ends mid-sentence, as do they all. Anyway, in 1939, Max Brod, escaping the Nazis, left on the last train out of Prague before the German forces rolled in to the now Czech Republic. It was then Czechoslovakia, of course. And he went to Palestine, carrying with him two suitcases. One of the suitcases contained his collection of Kafka's manuscripts. The Brod collection that is now in Israel is based on that, plus the collected works of Max Brod after his arrival in Israel and his work as a theater critic and a major player on the theater scene in Israel. So that's how they wound up in Israel. There are also stories of how during the war of 1956, Max Brod had fear that the papers would be in danger and had them deposited in a safe in Switzerland. When the family found out about it, the estate in England, they gave permission for the papers to be taken from Switzerland to England, where they were deposited at the Bodleian Library in Oxford.
So, just getting back to Max Brod, in Tel Aviv he had a secretary, didn't he?
He had a sex tree?
A secretary? It's my Australian accent. A secretary, Esther Hoff, who became his lover.
Right.
And left all his papers to her.
He did. He left all of his Kafka, his entire collection, his nachlas, he left to her.
And she left it to her daughters.
And she left it to her daughters. And she, for many, many years, she's been the bane of Kafka scholars because she would not allow scholars or researchers to see any of these materials. And when she died at a rather advanced age, 101, a couple of years ago, she had been in a coma for the last few years, and it was impossible to negotiate with her to try and get any access to whatever she had.
So what are these papers? What treasures might they reveal?
Well, there is talk that there might be one or two manuscripts which have already been published, so there wouldn't be anything really new in that department. There may be some original manuscripts. There may be some more of Kafka's drawings. He was quite the doodler, as he said, and he had a really remarkable artistic style, and he has many drawings that have never been published, and those might be in there. There would be letters that Broad would have written in correspondence to major figures of the time, Einstein and others, often about Kafka and sometimes on other matters altogether. One of the things that we do know for sure and affected my research greatly was the existence of 70 letters that Dora, the subject of my biography, Kafka's Last Love, wrote to Max Brod over a 25-year period.
She just happens to have the same last name as you by accident, doesn't she?
Mm-hmm. It's a coincidence, yes. It's the coincidence that got me started on trying to find out, first, if I was related to her, and then once I started learning more about her, what became of her after Kafka's death in 1924. And for me, the difficulty is that in those letters that I know are there are clues to a real Kafka treasure trove of 20 notebooks and 35 letters that have never been published. It's a literary treasure, you know, beyond measure. And there are clues in those letters in the Broad collection in Tel Aviv that can help us find what we're looking for in Eastern Europe in the missing Kafka papers that were taken from Dora Diamond by the Gestapo in 1933, which is the work of the Kafka Project.
Well, there's also a German library waiting in the wings, I believe, too.
Yes, yeah, the German Literature Archives in Marbach.
And what's their interest?
Well, they have a large... They bought the trial about 12 years ago at auction. Esther Hoffa sold it. And interestingly enough, one of the things that the National Library of Israel would like to have is the return of the trial, the original manuscript, which was in Max Brod's suitcase in 1939 that he brought to Palestine. They would like to have that returned, even though it was sold quite legally at auction about a dozen years ago for $1 million.
Could it be that there are some papers Broad thought would be better shared and others kept in the family? It's been reported that Max Broad actually cited the National Library as a potential heir to the papers.
I've read that as well, and I imagine that that's part of what their basis for this lawsuit is. The problem is we've got two very old ladies living, at least Eva Hoffa has said, in near poverty, unable to access not only this inheritance, which has become a nightmare to her, but also the normal inheritance she would have gotten from her mother's estate. And she's in her 70s, and it really is a Kafka-esque trial for this woman. I'm sure it's an inheritance she is not so grateful for right now.
So, okay, they've got all this stuff in this apartment where they're living. What's the apartment like?
Well, what I've read of it, it's a small, dark first-story floor apartment or a two-story building in Tel Aviv on Spinoza Street that is filled with cats and no air conditioning, nothing fancy.
So you don't know what state the papers are in?
No, and that's been great concern to scholars for many years, is this is not safe environment for those papers. And there was also recently in the news the story that there had been a theft at Hoffa's apartment on Spinoza Street, and undisclosed items had been taken. Even Eva Hoffa didn't know exactly what had been taken.
Well, Max Brod, when he was alive, refused to give up his archive or even allow access to it. And the daughters, Eva and Ruth, may be strictly abiding by his wishes. I mean, is it true that the sisters can't access any of their mother's million-dollar estate until this is settled?
Yes. Yes.
So it's very complex for them as well, by the sound of it.
Oh, yes. It's pretty much a nightmare. And again, as you said, the prophecy of Kafka's writings coming true in this very close personal story.
The German political theorist Hannah Arendt wrote a letter to a colleague, the publisher of Kafka's works, about Kafka that, and I quote, "Though during his lifetime he could not make a decent living, he will now keep generations of intellectuals both gainfully employed and well-fed." I mean, it seems she was spot on, but it's not just the academics, but the lawyers too, who are benefiting from Kafka's missing legacy. Do you have any idea what might the outcome of this might be, this long and involved tangle?
Well, they will at some point, it will be resolved, and they will either wind up staying in Israel or they will be sold to the German Literature Archives in Marbach, who has offered €1 million for them. So it'll be one of the two places, and eventually they will be available for researchers and scholars. It will be resolved, it's just when.
Well, I believe Kafka always wanted to go to Israel, and in a way he is there, in a sense. I imagine as a lawyer and as the subject of the trial, he would be perhaps looking at this case with some interest.
Oh, I would say so, and I'm afraid very ruefully.
That's Kathy Diamond. So thank you so much for being on the Book Show today. Kathy is director of the Kafka Project held at the University of California, San Diego. She's the author of Kafka's Last Love, The Mystery of Dora Diamond, published by Basic Books.